You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz. The Utah Jazz win their ninth in a row against the Knicks. It might be the most impressive of them all. Royce O'Neal growing into his role in the second year. Mike Conley continues to be great. Rudy Gobert's ridiculous. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan each and every day. So the Jazz win their ninth straight ball game last night. And in some ways, even though it's against a Knicks team that may or may not make the playoffs in the Eastern Conference and is certainly not loaded in any way, and I think in ahead for tougher days, from a Jazz standpoint, this to me might actually be the most impressive of the nine. And I'm going to explain that and why coming up. Plus, Wednesdays, we're going to do best of Quinn Snyder from the week. He's always so interesting, gives such great insight, and so we'll have that for you on today's show as well. Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code Locked On. You'll get 20% off your next order. So here's why I feel like last night was as impressive a win as the Jazz have had. It's, you know, every now and then there's a team out there that has your number. It just plays in a style and a fashion that has your number. And it's not always a team that's as good as you, right? There's teams that are just simply better than you. And there's teams that have our number. So, you know, on the good scale, obviously Houston just had our number for years. But there have always been other teams where you play them and it's like, gosh, another one of these games. That coach, that style, that personnel. That's what the Knicks are to the Jazz. The Knicks have the Jazz number. They're physical. They're big. They're oversized at virtually every position. We're undersized at virtually every position. They're physical. That's not our natural instinct. They play a defensive, like, physical over-shifting style that's Tom Thibodeau's signature. And then on the offensive end, they're not good, but they're difficult for us because they play a lot of isolation. They don't run a pick and roll that necessarily puts Rudy into the action. They kind of run action so that they can then back up and just come at you one-on-one. And so that's a tough matchup for us. You go back to the game in New York, we clearly weren't that far away from being good, right? We haven't lost since. That of our all the games we've played this year is our 14th best offensive game and our 15th best defensive game. Okay, we've played 17 games, right? We're 13-4. And you go back to that Knicks game, we had a 99 defensive rating. That's our third worst offensive game of the year. And it's our second worst defensive game of the year. Second or third. There's got to be another one in there somewhere. So last night, what you see out of us is a team that's in that same book. Like at halftime, our defensive rating is through the roof. We're struggling. Austin Rivers is going off. It's all kind of the same thing again. And then we battle through it. But most impressively to battling through it is we're actually dominant. Absolutely incredibly dominant. And our best offensive player is off. So now there's two aspects to that. Donovan's not right last night. He wasn't close. He got banged around a ton. He didn't look right at all. And I think he's 1-for-9 at halftime. Mike's not quite right either. You know, we go to the half last night, down 13. Donovan's 1-of-9, Mike's 0-of-5, and Boyan's 0-for-5. Okay, those are our scorers. Clarkson, you know, showing some cool stuff to that. So we go to the third quarter, Donovan's still not right. And all of a sudden, we start to just clamp down. And Mike gets going. Mike has an unbelievable third quarter. He scores 14 points, has 2 rebounds, an assist. But most importantly, Look at what we're suddenly doing defensively. And this goes to yesterday's show. Dominating quarters. We suddenly hold the Knicks to an 88 offensive rating, while our offense explodes to a 136. And this also goes to something we've talked about all year long, that when we get stops and we then are running and playing out off our stops, our offense is really, really good. And we're taking the ball out of the net, like you are when Austin Rivers goes 10 for 10 the first half. We're not great. We're pretty, right now, we're pretty average on that. We'll update that. But the Jazz come back out of that, and they're just brilliant. And the Jazz defensive rating in the 7.5 minutes that Rudy's on the floor in that quarter is an 81.3. An 81.3 defensive rating. And the offense is a 153. Rudy's ridiculous. So then we go to the fourth quarter. Now we're in a ball game. And they get even better. The offensive rating's a 127. The defensive rating was a 59. In Rudy Gobert's 7 minutes and 22 seconds, it's a 42.9. Mike Conley, who's generally matching minutes with Rudy Gobert, doesn't play 646, so he plays about a minute without. In the minutes where Mike Conley was in, the defensive rating is a 23.1. What? Yes, a 23.1. The fourth quarter and the Jazz, so the Jazz allowed 35 points in the second half last night. So they're playing a team that's tough. They've got to fight through it. It's not a great team. You're better than them, but they play a style that undoes you. We looked uncomfortable the entire first half. Even our drives were like trying to figure out where the help was coming from. On offense, they were bringing extra guys in. It was a question I asked Mike Wells at halftime, like, where's their help coming from? We moved the pick and roll from Mike Conley down to the baseline, had three guys on the other side, so Mike was now rolling into the middle of the lane with Rudy rolling the baseline. He had the middle of the floor. He had three shooters. If they left him, he could find him. It was a great adjustment by the coaching staff, but it's also great execution by the team. And in the second half, our defensive rating was a 74.5, and when Rudy Gobert was on the floor, it was a 63.3. Are you kidding me? A 63.3 defensive rating in the second half when Rudy Gobert was on the floor? That's insane. He's so great. So that's a neat win to me. Maybe the best of the group of the nine. And then the second part of that is, so Donovan's off. And we have enough firepower that when Donovan's off, we can get rolling. Donovan goes 2 for 5 from 3 in the second half. He does have 5 rebounds to his credit. But Royce O'Neal's just terrific, and we'll talk about that in a second. Mike Conley's fabulous, goes 5 of 7. George Niang hits some shot. But Donovan Mitchell and Jordan Clarkson in the second half go 3 for 15, 2 of 11 from 3, and we find a way to win. Not just win, by the way, but in the second half, with those two guys doing that, we outscore them by 27 points. Pretty amazing. Jordan Clarkson last night had 4 assists in the second half. There's something to be said for a superstar allowing the team to win when he's off. It sounds minor, but the Jazz literally put the ball in Mike Conley's hands and had him run the show for much of the third quarter. I'd be really curious on Donovan's time of possession last night compared to regular. Because it felt way down. I don't know if his touches and, you know, they have all those data points. I don't know what his league averages are of touches and things of that nature, but it felt down. And so there's actually something to be said for a player that's willing to let you do that. That doesn't happen very often. Mike Conley and Donovan had about equal amount of touches. I don't have the numbers to go pull it up to see what his numbers are regularly. But there's something to that. The guy who had the most touches last night was Royce O'Neal. And his evolution in this and why it's happening is vital as well. So we'll touch on that plus a few other news and notes from last night and things the Jazz are doing. Super impressive win to me last night. I have you grab the brand new, truly awesome, Locked On Bets. Your boy Q, Lee Sterling, handicapping, fun 15-minute show. gives you a bunch of the games, talks about the betting world, tells a fun story about West Virginia, Texas Tech, and the line bouncing all over yesterday. It's available for you on all your podcast providers. It's most importantly brought to you by BetOnline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. NFL regular season is finished up, so you've got the Super Bowl props every day, all the time between now and Super Bowl. Lee Sterling will be giving you a Super Bowl prop to look at Locked On Bets. And, of course, that promo code is Locked On to receive 50% off welcome bonus. NBA, NHL, they had a hockey game they nailed last night. UFC, when it's appropriate, they did the week before. It's all available for you. Our good friends, exclusive partner at BetOnline_AG to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for your free account and use the promo code Locked On to get your bonus. It's BetOnline.AG. Today's show is also brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar, protein bar or candy bar. You decide, but the taste is great and everyone loves them and they all take them in different ways. I freeze mine. Some of the people on the staff are on Locked On staff are actually melting theirs. And then there's just eat them regularly. They have almost a marshmallowy feel for you. There's also a new thing called Built Puffs they have, which have vanilla marshmallow, coconut marshmallow, strawberry marshmallow. So literally a marshmallowy feel to it. But Built Bar's got great flavors, both with nuts and without. The without nut flavor, coconut's what I had yesterday. A little raspberry the day before that. Changing it up in my box. And then there's the Built Bar with nuts. Peanut butter brownie, 1-hour taste test. German chocolate cake's a big winner as well. But most importantly, it's the macros and what it brings for you. 120 fewer calories, 3.5 fat grams less than your average leading men's bar. 34 carbs fewer, 17 grams of sugar less, and you're getting 7 grams of protein more. It's all at BuiltBar.com. Promo code Locked On gets you 20% off. That's 20% off with your promo code Locked On. So go do it now at BuiltBar.com. Our new podcast is Locked On Today. It gives you a look at all the news you need to know and sports debates in 20 minutes. Today they debate Lakers, Clippers. Can the Clippers get to the Lakers level? What about us? We'll see how that plays out if they'll start talking about us at some point. Anybody can influence that. Who knows? All right, let's talk about Royce O'Neale for a second because he was really great, and then we'll dig into some other aspects. So Royce O'Neale started 62 games last year. The year before that, he started 16. The year before that, he started 4. And this year, he is in the starting lineup every day. Last year, 59% of the time, he guarded a core player. One of the highest rates of anyone in the league. 22% of the time, he guarded an all-star player. 13% of the time, he guarded an all-NBA player. And he had the fourth highest rate of anyone in the NBA guarding a usage one level player. Fourth highest. Terrence Ferguson, Lawrence Dort, Lou Dort, and somebody else who I always forget whenever we do this that's really natural that you'd think is on that list. And he's this year, his rate's even higher. What Quinn has pointed out in a few interviews, would have been good for Best of Quinn, is that this is the second year in Royce O'Neale's career that he is guarding primary guys. And he's getting better at it every time. There have been times in which, you know, quite frankly, I've wondered whether or not Royce O'Neale is actually a good defensive player or if he's just the best defensive player we have. Recently, he's been a good defensive player. As Quinn said last night, what else could we ask him to do? Last night, he gave an unbelievable performance in both guarding Julius Randle and Austin Rivers. Those are pretty different players. And there's been a lot of discussion of how he does versus different types of players. What we're really seeing is a two-part evolution of Royce O'Neale to understand how to play this role or to have more experience playing this role. And that's pretty interesting to watch. And so one of the things I think we're seeing is how you play as the fifth offensive player on the floor is an interesting thing. So last year, what we saw to Royce in that circumstance is that he almost never shot. Right? Almost never shot. Didn't end up wanting to disrupt it. Didn't want it. Torrey Craig, by the way, was the other guy. I just remembered. You know, and so Royce O'Neal last year, particularly on the offensive end in this circumstance, always moved it. Didn't use a lot of shots. Didn't do a lot of, you know, had almost no impact. What we're seeing him understand now is, okay, if you're not going to guard me because you're going to bring help off of me and I'm clearly the guy you're bringing help off of, then there's two things I've got to do. One is I got to shoot early. He's actually not shooting much more than he did a year ago. He's shooting, to me, he's just shooting early. And the second thing that I have to do is cut. Cutting is a tricky skill. Because if you cut every time, too often you're bringing a guy into the lane where there's a drive or there's a pick and roll or something like that. What Royce seems to be finding is that he's cutting off of scramble plays. So as a play starts and the Jazz space throughout the play, the most important thing for Royce to do is to space. Then if they leave him because Donovan comes off the pick and roll or Mike comes off the pick and roll or Rudy rolls or whatever they're doing, then go ahead and get your open three and take it. And you're seeing that in the first and third quarters of games, Royce has taken, in the first quarter, Royce has taken 24 of his 32 shots in 17 games as threes. He's hitting 46%. In the second quarter, he's taken 24 of his, third quarter, he's taken 24 of his 29 shots as threes. He's hitting 42%. Pretty great. I mean, it's just a very low usage, but it's a little more than maybe you'd do otherwise. And what you're actually seeing is in the first 3 minutes, he's 5 of 6 from three. And in the first 3 minutes of the third quarter, he's 5 of 12 from three. So it's like early in the quarter, you're going to leave me. I'm now going to take that shot. Fine. I'm not bothered by it. But the one that was interesting last night was the cutting. And what that is seems to me, and I'd have to watch more to make sure I'm right on this, it's coming off broken plays. So what I mean by that is that when a play suddenly is into scramble, Jazz get an offensive rebound. Jazz have moved it around a ton. Play might be somewhat broken from the way that you think it would be played. And what happens? But then Royce cuts to the lane. Because his guy's got his back turned and he's paying attention to other things. And that's a level of engagement and activity from Royce that frankly we just haven't seen before. And it's pretty great. So that to me is a really big step. And it's another example of just where the continuity and togetherness of this team from the changes that Quinn made, and the big story that just is not being talked about, are the changes that Quinn made pre-bubble last year. And that's where Quinn changed who the Jazz are pre-bubble, the way they play, what they're doing, and this is the same set of guys adding Boyan. Favors understands it, and in turn, we look crazy different. Here's some other notes on last before we go to Best of Quinn. New York allows a lot of threes. The number one question we're getting from everyone is this sustainable? Well, the question to me about sustainability is, are we going to be able to take as many threes as we're taking, or are teams going to be able to find a way to reduce that? The thought in the analytics community has always been defenses dictate amount of shots at rims, offense dictates the amount of threes. Well, last night, you know, our old goal was 40-40-20. Well, maybe the 20 is the only thing that matters right now. We'd probably like to be more shots to the rim, but last night the Jazz were 32-49-19. In other words, 31% of our shots last night were smart shots. Either 32% at the rim or 49% of threes. The crazy one is we had 15 corner threes last night. Our corner three shooting now for the Last three games, last since the Knicks, we took 11 against the Knicks. 11, all right, 10 is a ton, by the way. You take like 80 shots a game. The league leader is like, we're probably the lead leader at this point. It's probably like 8 or 9% of your shots is threes. Why don't I find that for you to back this up? That is, you know, so you suddenly cross over. 10's like the golden number of three-point shots. If you take 10 in a game, the leading 9% is the league average. We're second in the league at 12.3%. Phoenix is third at 12.7. It was first, excuse me, at 12.7. Next is 11% in Chicago. So 9% is the league average. So you take about 80 shots a game. You suddenly go get 10 corner threes. You're really at a high level. We're getting 10 corner threes every game. 11 against the Knicks, 13 against the Bucks, 11 against the Pistons, 7 against the Cavaliers, who made 6. 12 against the Hawks, 13 against Denver, 17 against New Orleans, 12 against New Orleans, 15 against Golden State, and 15 last night. We're also hitting about 48%. We're 53 of our last 115. That's 46%. So we're hitting 46% of our threes, corner threes. Like, and I don't entirely know how someone just decides they're not giving up corner three shooters. Well, someone's going to try it. Someone's going to decide to build their defense around that. That will happen. But whether this is sustainable or not largely runs to whether or not you can stop us from taking threes. And I don't know that you can. Last night, our half-court offense was incredible. 110.3. We've been struggling half-court offense. And last night, we didn't get out and run. Our frequency was high, actually. We got out. We just weren't very effective in running last night, which was unusual. Probably just a case of finally missing some shots. But that was a game that just didn't go our way. We didn't do our things, and we still were able to get out in the half court, not running. Like, we still got our threes. We got our corner threes. And that makes me a little bit wonder, like, can you, you're going to have to stop us. You're going to have to get us to stop taking threes. Or we're dictating it. We have a bad shooting night. Okay, then that's not sustainable. But bad shooting nights are not sustainable either. We're not going to have like 11 straight bad shooting nights. That's not who this team is. It's pretty impressive what's going on right now. And I thought last night was super impressive. Probably haven't talked enough about Mike Conley, but that was kind of my point in the first segment. Mike Conley goes and takes over the game in that third quarter offensively when Donovan's off and we have someone who can do it. It's pretty amazing. A few other little news notes and numbers on that one. The Knicks last night, when Rudy Gobert was the closest defender, shot 2 of 10. And 0 of 3 from 3. Yeah. He's really good. I mean, his traditional box score last night was pretty real, too. Plus 27, 18 points, 19 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 blocks. 8 of 13 shooting. And I love the fact he's kind of stretching out his offensive game to miss some of those shots. All right, every Wednesday we're going to give you Best of Quinn. Two interesting comments from last night, and we'll have more for you as well. As the Jazz play the Dallas Mavericks tonight, I didn't even get a chance. I was going to preview that one for you a little bit. All right, we'll come back. We'll preview Dallas for a little bit and then hear two things on Quinn. Today's show is brought to you by Intercap Lending. Steve Carter and the crew over at Intercap do amazing work. Love working with them. They absolutely bring everything that makes it being their sponsor or endorsing them. It's that personal touch, great experiences. Steve Carter is just a master. Like, I love people that are good at their job. Steve Carter is good at his job. And that's what shows up in every review imaginable. Intercap's been in business for 40 years. They're flexible. They have a great borrower experience. They embrace change. They're hyper-responsive in what they do to make sure that you have this great experience. I've used Steve Carter twice. Our COO used Steve Carter. And you know what? If you just look around, like, here's what my COO wrote as his Google review. Fantastic experience working with Steve and Eric Kaplinning. Steve and his team were on top of everything. Super responsive. Got our loan done quickly. Provided answers and options as needed. He made the lending process painless. Couldn't recommend him more. It's from the guy running Locked On. John wrote, Steve Carter's fantastic to work with. Night and day difference from my experience with previous lenders. Steve was proactive, kept the ball moving forward. I never had to reach out to him to figure out what's going on. He updated me frequently and promptly. He was friendly, helpful, respectful. He helped secure a great rate on a mortgage refi that will save us hundreds of thousands of dollars of the life of the loan. Come on now. That is awesome. Way to go, Steve. So you can call Steve, tell him you're the Locked On Jazz, 385-885-28. That's 385-885-28. Intercap Lending, NMLS number 190465, intercaplending.com. Steve Carter's number is 385-885-28. Today's show is also brought to you by Rock Auto. Do-it-yourselfer or professional. Rock Auto is going to charge you the exact same. Rock Auto always has reliably and reasonably low prices and all the parts your car will ever need. You can find these examples everywhere. You go into the brick and mortar store, they only have a certain amount of shelf space. So the chain stores have only certain pricing available, only certain products available. If you want a fuel pump, that's what you got. So let's say you have a 2005, between 2005 and 2010 Honda Odyssey. You need a fuel pump. You want the Delphi FG1456. Right. You go into the big chain store, $353.99, and it's your only choice. You go to Rock Auto, that same fuel pump is $140 less, $216.79. $350 to $215. Crazy. And if you want other fuel pumps, they're available also. Chain stores have different prices for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Rock Auto's prices are the same for everyone and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear and airlines do. RockAuto.com, everyone, no matter who, no membership required, gets the same prices. It's RockAuto.com, reliably low prices and all the parts your car will ever need. Make sure you write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box when you check out at RockAuto.com. Locked On Today is your daily podcast on everything sports. Make sure you grab it today. Thanks so much. You guys have been incredible to me at Locked On. A lot of fun, incredible things taking place with the network. And you guys have been truly amazing in your support. I got a bunch of messages yesterday. Hey, what's the name of that new show? And the fact you guys are just going to try it because of Locked On is pretty awesome. Thank you. Dallas. Hard to tell really who they are because of the fact they've had so much COVID. But Luka's usage rate is 41%. Then Tim Hardaway Jr., Trey Burke, and then Kristaps Porzingis are the next three guys most likely to take shots. Luka's usage rate is 41% and assist rate is 50%. Like, he's creating everything every second he's on the floor. It's incredible. And Royce O'Neal gets that lineup today. That makes it fun for Royce. They're only plus 1.9 when Luka's on the floor. And their main lineup, which has been Josh Richardson, Tim Hardaway Jr., Luka, Dorian Finney-Smith, and Dwight Powell, is minus 12.6. But when they start digging into the bench and some other things, they become a little bit more in-depth. Kristaps and Luka, Kristaps coming off injuries, and Luka, who are kind of their team, have only played 305 possessions together, and they're plus 8.3. Then you start to, you know, add in their pieces, and you take Tim Hardaway Jr. and add him into it, and they're plus 9.7. Right? And now you're beginning to get their team. And then they've added athletes around everything, and they actually haven't played a minute yet this year with Luka, Kristaps, Hardaway Jr., and Josh Richardson on the floor together. They haven't played a single minute of that yet this year. So they have been just crippled by the various COVID bugs, virus, not various, the COVID virus. And it has really restricted kind of who they are and how they've been able to play. And You know, Kristaps as the center hasn't played a lot. They're playing Dwight Powell some. They're playing Willie Cauley-Stein some. But Kristaps as the center has only played 263 possessions so far this year as the center. They have James Johnson as well. But even those, when Kristaps playing that, he's only played 35 possessions all year with Luka on the floor and him at center. They're just, Dallas is hard to tell who they are right now. Actually, take that back. They've played 158 possessions with Luka on the floor. They're plus eight, and they're pretty unstoppable offensively. So they, again, right, they just haven't had a lot of time together. Trey Burke's playing well for them. When you look at where Dallas ranks right now, you try to figure out kind of they're 8-9, they're 12th offensively, they're 18th defensively. It's hard to, I think it's hard to put a lot of that in. You try to, you know, you want to go look at the last 2 weeks and you deal with the same thing with them. So the COVID thing is real with them. All right, let's go with two pieces. I had three ready, but let's go with two pieces from Quinn Snyder's best of the week. And they're actually both from yesterday. I thought he was great in yesterday's. The first is he took us back into the locker room after the Knicks loss, before the 9-game win streak started, and shared with us what he said to the guys and what the transformation was out of New York.
Yeah, I think the question that I asked and I wanted us to ask ourselves was, you know, why is it that the things that we all want to do, you know, we're not doing consistently? Because I think sometimes, you know, you can get into like cannot or will not. And, you know, in this case, I know that it's not a will not. They care. And, you know, there's things that we can do. There's some things that we aren't as good at doing. You know, that's true of any team. But it, neither one of those questions answer the question of why we aren't. And really, in my mind, and I think the place we arrived at with the players is just the continual focus on being in the present, like being present each play. And that level of focus results in execution. You know, you want to run, but if it's not a habit yet, you know, it's taken us time for those things to become habits. And there's still times where, you know, we forget to do something. You know, you probably don't forget to brush your teeth, but it happens, and that doesn't mean you don't care. So that was the challenge for us. You know, just being consistent with our focus. And then there were some things that we knew we needed to do better. We needed to take better care of the ball. You know, we can't control whether shots go in, but we can try to make what we call 0.5 reads. And, you know, in 0.5 seconds, in a half a second, we got to shoot it, pass it, or drive it. So I think, you know, the things that were challenging to do, and they still are, because, you know, unlike some other situations in life, you have the other team that's trying to prevent you from doing something actively. You know, that's the nature of competition. And, you know, I think our guys have done a good job working through that and getting better at focusing, not just every game, not just every quarter, but, you know, hopefully every play.
What's interesting to me about that answer is I was talking to somebody on our staff who, after the Milwaukee game, said to me, oh, that'll show the guys how to play. And so there was certainly something where Quinn, even when they'd lost to Brooklyn and New York, was seeing what he needed to see, just needed it for an extended period of time. And for every possession, as he's saying, rather than every quarter or every, you know, in focusing in that level. And last night's win against the Knicks is probably the ultimate example of that. That's why I think last night's win is so impressive, is because of that effort it took against a team that kind of has your number, plays in a style that's hard for you. It makes you uncomfortable. Things were going wrong, and you not only fought through it, but you dominated and swung the game 30 points in a span of 24 minutes. It's pretty awesome. All right, here's some stuff on Rudy, who, you know, we get it. Like, we understand it. We don't have to, we're not going to be able to convince everybody, but here's Quinn talking a little bit about Rudy.
There's things that we ask Rudy to do and that Rudy does that impact the game that we all know don't show up on, you know, in the box score. And, you know, those metrics that you're giving us right now, that, you know, that speaks to Rudy's impact on the game. And I think he's running better than he ever has. We've tried to do some things to give him some clarity. You know, if you're running a 100-meter race, you know, the start is everything. And having kind of clarity for him to beat his man down the court, you know, which I think does impact the game offensively. And on the defensive end, you know, he's always – a few years ago, the big question was, you know, can Rudy guard against, quote-unquote, popping fives? You know, can Rudy guard out on the perimeter, you know, when people are playing more of a five-out style? And he continues to kind of acclimate in different situations defensively. I think his anticipation on the defensive end has gotten better. He's more confident, you know, coming off his man to make a play. And I think the reason that that's the case is the other guys behind him, you know, have been more disciplined in getting his man off the boards. It's hard to come help and then watch your man get an offensive rebound put back. You just, there's a tendency to stay near your man. So his rim protection, I think, is, you know, it's always been great. I think it's gotten even better, and there's some other situations that where it's improved. You know, offensively, and this happened last year when people started to really drop back to the rim, you know, he didn't have the same opportunities on the rolls. That was the year that he broke the league record for dunks. And he's also adjusted, you know, how he's playing offensively, where he's still impacting the game in the same way.
So a lot of really good points in there, one of which I think most importantly is the trust factor. So if Rudy's going to come up like he did last night, I didn't get into the X's and O's of last night, but what happened last night was Rudy came up higher on the pick and roll and stopped denying the drives into the lane by the Knicks. Well, he's got to believe someone else is helping him out. The minute he doesn't believe that, he's not coming out high because he's going to look bad, right? If somebody goes and puts a bunch of points on the board at the center position, everyone's going to say, well, Rudy allowed that, even if it's not Rudy's fault. So the trust factor in all of that is really interesting. And then Rudy's effort to run is incredible. He's really one of the most remarkable athletes I've ever seen. All right, that is Locked On Jazz today. Thanks so much for tuning in. Appreciate you. Talk to you tomorrow. Jazz and the Mavericks tonight, postcast after the game.